the award-winning Crunch Time.
No mark. Ground ball. Ferrets. Top of the square. Essendon fight back. Hand pass to Martin. Long range bombs a beauty. Nick Martin strikes from outside the arc. And for all the peppering, they finally land one. Bombers win. A finish loaded with controversy.
You could say once the ball's underneath you, you've got to make an effort to try and get it out. He did the old put his arms out and said, I don't really want to take it. I'm not interested. But once it's under you, I think it's probably the onus is on you to try and get the ball out.
I haven't looked at a replay. Masses of numbers around the ball. There are a lot of decisions holding the ball for and against throughout the night. You know, we'll obviously focus on the one in the last couple of seconds, but I can show you a couple of others too if you like.
I'm not going to make a comment around umpiring. That'll just add to the night.
A hectic and contentious finish at Adelaide Oval left the locals furious and the football world engulfed in debate. But Essendon got the reward it deserved from a pressure-packed night as Brad Scott sets a promising platform. Waitman's the crummer, the roller for a third, bump, 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 home!
To the square, Norton sets himself, couldn't quite take it. Treloar's there, throws it off the boot and bounces it through. Adam Treloar with the goal.
He winds up around the man on the mark, gives it the lock from 53. That was sweet! Bailey Dale, welcome back! Out of the doghouse and into prime time. That has been a mightily impressive response from the Bulldogs. Restoring plenty of faith internally and externally as well.
Yeah, it was a good night for us. Obviously on the canvas a little bit during the week. We put pressure on ourselves because we expect a lot. And we understand that externally there's an expectation of us. That's okay. If we front up like we have tonight, a couple of other occasions where we've had good outcomes, you know, we'll be in the mix, but it remains to be seen, and we understand that.
The Bulldogs respond to a week of fierce scrutiny in the only way you can, with emphatic on-field victory, distinct for the return to form of a couple of much-discussed veterans.
The MRO graded it a one-match suspension. That's where we thought the right result would have been.
Should character assessments and overviews off the field relate to on-field incidents overall, do you think?
Oh, God, I actually think that's a really good question, and I think that would be one of the things that we would look at towards the end of the year.
It's incumbent on you to use that. It would be offensive to any of our players to suggest that they're of lesser character than the two players in recent history who have successfully used that clause, because there are plenty of others who have asked for it and been denied, which is highly offensive.
And if a bloke's got a good record, he's played 200 games and he's never been suspended for a match, you would at least give that a mention, I think. Otherwise, you'd be remiss in your duty to that player. So it was mentioned. Mate, interview the tribunal. Don't interview me. I didn't make the decision. Okay.
You have some good weeks and you have some bad weeks, and so that continued probably symptoms, and that was ultimately why they thought it was the best decision for me to retire at this point in time.
And one of the most confounding tribunal rulings in many a year has the system under fire, while another promising career is prematurely ended by concussion. All the big issues of the week and the games of Super Saturday lie before us on the Round 6 edition of Crunch Time. Lucky to make it out of South Australia. Tyser screams, lying shame. It's a brilliant headline with the photo of Draper lying on top of the footy at the end last night. Controversial last second miss free kick call costs Crows a shot at victory against Bombers. On the footbridge as we departed last night, it sounded a bit like this.
Absolutely, the Crows were robbed. Right in front of me. Right in front of me.
Oh, yeah, too.
Yes, it was irresistible. On the plane, I spent the whole flight searching the laws of the game for the frog splash, but I couldn't find it anywhere. I'm telling you, the AFL is getting more like the WWE every week. Jared Waitley with you for Crunch Time. David King is with me. Hello to you, Kingy.
Oh, g'day, G. I wish I was there last night. I really do. Anytime you get a chance to play that audio, I'm in. Bizarre finish. Pretty ordinary game, to be fair, but a great result for the Bombers. And, you know, they get things back on track. And I was pretty hard on them a couple of weeks ago, but defensively last night, I thought they were brilliant.
Luke Hodge, feel like we left a state in flames as we got out today.
Oh, and fair enough too. I think if you see the Adelaide supporters and the look in their face, just look at the reaction of the players as well, because Adelaide know that their season is pretty much done now. They had a little bit of hope. We brought in the reason. We brought in four umpires to pick up every little thing that can cause a win or a loss. And unfortunately, the four umpires last night missed a massive one. But as far as Draper, he did what he was supposed to. Secondary stoppages, repeat stoppages, try and run the clock down. But when you play dead fish on the footy oval line on top of a ball, it was actually quite funny. And then to make it even worse, in front of the Adelaide supporters on the hill, he mocked again and did exactly what he did in front of a couple of teammates. So, look, it was entertainment, but look, Essendon were clearly the best team last night. They should have won by more, but at least we got a little bit to talk about after the last couple of seconds.
Sammy Edmund's been on a busy beat today. He's got the verdict. Hello to you, Sam.
Hello, Jared. I've got it in my hot little hands here. But just firstly, I mean, Hodgie just touched on it there. Criminal psychologists have made a career out of assessing why guilty people return to the scene of the crime. You never return to the scene of the crime. So for Sam Draper to reenactment, even those who were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, I reckon it stripped all them away right then and there, Jared, after the game. But geez, swings and roundabouts. I'm not sure if they got a swing or a roundabout, but they got something last night, isn't it?
So before we get to the edict from the AFL, I think it's the morning to reprise an old World of Sports segment.
The Friendly Way presents What's Your Decision?
TAA, The Friendly Way.
I thought it was Ballantyne. I'd have lost me dough there, Jared.
All right, David King, what was your decision?
Well, firstly, I think it's possibly the dumbest thing I've seen a ruckman do in many a year.
Oh, they have done some dumb things,
of
who?
Percy Jones. It's right up there with the Percy Jones kicking the goalpost instead of the footy sort of level. He's in rare air. Bizarre move. I mean, to do that, to risk that, it's the only way you can really risk the game at that stage, just to give away a free kick with, you know, 10 seconds to go. So, bizarre move. He got away with it. It's clearly a free kick. And I just think the umpire froze under the heat of the decision that's going to cost the game. Swing the game one way or the other, he didn't want to make that call.
Hodgie, what was your decision?
My decision is Tex Walker's lining up for his 620th career goal. He jumped on Draper. Draper laid on the ball, clear as day. In my opinion, it was a free kick. I've watched it time and time again just before, and it has not changed my mind. Umpires are in a perfect view, I reckon. Clearly, I just think the umpire panicked. It was 2 seconds to go. It was an intense game. Probably the situation got the better of him, but definitely holding the ball from my point of view.
I was broadcasting with Mark Bickley, the dual premiership captain. I don't feel like I gave Bix the full platform to say what he really thought, because I think this is what was on his mind.
Oh, this is murder. Absolute murder.
You've gone. So you're going to have to educate us where that's from.
That's the infamous Adelaide Fitzroy game.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
Football Park.
Where Fitzroy were robbed in the most graphic way. I think I regret not giving Bix full license to do that. Nice. You have the actual verdict, Sam.
Very interesting verdict. So an explanation from the AFL. So bear with me here as I read out this statement from an AFL spokesperson. This is how it goes. In the moment and at ground level, the umpires believe that Draper dived on the ball and then the ball came out to Draper's left and was then knocked back under him by Taylor Walker. In review and with the assistance of the broadcast angle and behind the goal's Hawkeye vision providing a clearer look, you can see that the ball moves from under Draper's chest to under his armpit shoulder, which means the ball is still in his possession and he has not immediately knocked it clear. Therefore, it technically should have been a holding the ball free kick. It's a very challenging one for the umpires in this situation, with the ball on the ground, to see exactly where the ball is under a large number of players. There were 17 Essendon players in the immediate area, and who has control of it? On ground level, they were not certain of all these factors, so they didn't pay it, which is the correct approach at the time. So to summarise, technically it was a free kick, but given the context and what was in front of the umpire, they weren't absolutely sure, so therefore the AFL understands why they didn't pay the free kick.
No, that is incorrect. Just say we were incorrect, it should have been a free kick and Tech should have been having a shot on goal. Every position, if that had been in the middle of the ground and you see a ruckman dive to the ground, remember the old saying, if you go to ground, you have to get it out? Draper clearly went to ground. He had to get out. It was his responsibility to get the ball out because he opted to go to ground and lay on top of the ball. So the rest of that part, what you just said, Sammy, from their explanation, is crap.
Yeah, exactly what you're... Yes, crap.
That's pretty much it. That's what
just
it
had to look up 18.6.5 in the laws of the game. The word crap's not mentioned, but it says free kicks it holding the ball, diving on top of the football, and it reads like this, Hodgie. A field umpire shall award a free kick against a player who dives on top of or drags the football underneath their body and fails to immediately knock clear or correctly dispose of the football when legally tackled. Now, if we are going to say that Taylor Walker's tackle was legal, which I think most of us are, some are not, then that was holding the ball.
So the Crows were robbed right in front of me.
Right in front of me. This is, that's not the Keys ghost goal, is it, to be honest? And Adelaide, we'll get to them in a moment, or it pains to stress that. But, gee, that in, they've been on the end of three contentious...
So this is a litany now of three incorrect calls validated by the AFL. The first being the Collingwood game at the MCG where Jordan Dawson got the whack high. And it was, and during the week, the AFL conceded it should have been a free kick to result in a shot at goal to win the game. The ball that missed the post should have been reviewed and it would have stood as a goal.
The Keys ghost
had
goal.
Them in front. And then last night.
Yeah.
So that any wonder they feel a little bit jilted.
So just quickly on this, while we're on the subject of the Crows, they say, I've touched base on this morning, they say they are, well, they're likely to pick up the phone in the next 24 to 48 hours. They say they do that most weeks anyway, to query this non-call. But at the same time, this is a club very much at pains to admit they've got so many issues of their own doing that they're not pretending to claim they've been cheated here. This is a long, long way from the Keys situation, even Dawson. I mean, the Crows say this is a poor form body of work now across the first 6 weeks of the season. They admit they could easily be winless at this point if the planets and allied differently. So there's not going to be the jumping up and down here that we saw in the wake of the Keys situation. They had them, you know, making all sorts of demands to league headquarters.
Yeah, they were ordinary last night. At best, ordinary. They had a couple of star factor players play really well. I thought Dawson was terrific. Kept them in the game. And Soligo is going to be a star. We've talked about him the last couple of weeks. But they won't be whinging about this. They know they had ample opportunity to win this game. They were lucky to be in the game, to be fair. It should have been a six-goal margin at half time. Such was the dominance of the Bombers. But it's going to happen to them, isn't it? This will be their year. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong against Adelaide. Because that's just the run they're in, the rut they're in as a footy club. And it's hard to see the way out in the short term, isn't it? I mean, their year's over now, and it's over so early.
So Murphy's Law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong at the worst possible moment. I think they're living O'Toole's Law, is that Murphy was an optimist. They're deep in it at the moment.
You're right, Kingy. There's bigger things from him because, yes, we talk about the holding the ball, it should have been, but there's a couple goals in that last quarter. The Merritt goal where no one manned him up running through. This is the things that Nicks is going to go back. And he commented last night saying, I don't want to add to the fuel because there's other areas. There was... Martin's goal as well, where they get a free kick. Goldstein's by himself at centre-half forward. O'Brien didn't want to go and man him up. And then Nick Martin was near where the free kick was given, just ran to 55 out by himself. The best kick in the Essendon team. So you're spot on. They're not going to go through and blame one free kick. They're going to go through and look at all the scoring opportunities that Essendon had. And look, to be honest, Essendon should have won by 5, 6, 7 goals if they had a connected better going inside forward 50. But yeah, Adelaide have got a few more things to work on with moving forward.
Yeah, and we don't want to misrepresent them either, Jared, at the risk of repeating ourselves here. They're very much looking inward at the moment, and just listening to some of the early talk back this morning in Adelaide, the fan base are much the same as well. There is some outrage over the decision, and we had a joke about the back page, but this is a supporter base and a membership base and a football club, I think, that admit that they've got some real issues they've got to sort through.
Yeah, well, it's for us to discuss the final moments of games and what we expect out of the officiating.
So the captain's challenge will be mentioned this week. Are we still putting a line through that?
It's an interesting question because how would it have come back in the 14 seconds from the arc? Would it have come back in the umpire, or would it have gone to the technical side of it and landed where they have this morning with additional broadcast vision?
It would have been a free kick awarded.
Yep.
If it went upstairs, there's no other option but to award the free kick.
And a shot after the siren, as it would have been as well. So Nathan Toner is the field umpire. And I think it's important to note here that there is enough time for him to make the decision that it is a ball. Well, he's the controlling. There's numbers on their back, David.
Naming and shaming.
I'm not shaming him. We've read the explanation from the AFL. But he's got the time, Jared, to call for a ball up, rather. He calls for the ball up. It's not like the siren intervenes on the decision at all. He has had the time to call for the ball up, and you can see that in the immediate aftermath of the Crows players who were initially frustrated at the holding at the ball up call, and then comes the frustration, exasperation when the siren sounds half a second thereafter.
So there is the little telltale moment. if the umpire's waiting for the ball to come out, he holds the whistle, that he blows the whistle quickly, satisfied that that Draper didn't do what he did. So if he'd held the whistle, and we would have got right to the siren as to what he would have decided then. Which...
So you've looked at it 100 times. Does Tex touch the ball back up underneath Draper or not?
Just. Yeah, he does. Yeah. I'm not so even
is
sure.
Is there an out there for the umpire?
No. If you decide to go to the ground and you're on top of the ball, it is your responsibility to knock the ball out.
And so players, just, they you, suck it in all the time.
Players jump on there, and then players will hold them in. If the umpire realises that you deliberately go to ground, it is your responsibility, whether someone holds a ball in or not. And we've seen that get paid.
What if they move back underneath him, Hodgie?
Like, no, but if that was Draper's arm. Yeah, that was Draper's arm.
What if he's not on top of the ball and Tex pulls it back in?
It was still in his. You've seen players where they've dived onto the ball. Players have dragged it onto him, and umpires have still said, they've pinned him because you need to get rid of the ball. This is the whole rule about not going to ground. The AFL don't want you to go to ground. They want you to stay on your feet, get the ball out, keep the ball alive. It is his responsibility.
I don't think it's going to be a move, Hodgie, that gathers momentum.
So you have to. Hodgie's reading of it is spot on. You have to successfully get it out.
Yeah.
Once, if the umpire deems you've dived on top of it. So
the umpire has no outs, is what you're saying.
Not really. No. I think he felt like the ball ended up stuck underneath him rather than he frog splashed it.
We've also got three other umpires in that 50 metres. Mm. So if that had been in the centre of the ground, I can guarantee you one of the other two would have jumped on it and said, no, I saw him dive on it. He's got to get it out. But because of the situation of the game where the ball was, they wanted to put their whistle away as well.
Your point's covered off in the AFL explanation, though, by the way, Kingy, because it says, yes, it was under his chest, and it only moved to his armpit area, so therefore it is still technically in Sam Draper's possession when Tex knocks it back further underneath.
Just trying to give the umpire an out.
Yeah.
He's got nowhere to go. Sammy's
got him in the gun.
We tried.
His prosecution has been absolutely outstanding.
And again, it's for us to debate, but the captain's call, the AFL has got no intention, has given it no mind to introducing, discussing, investigating at all. So it's as dead in the water as it's ever been.
So what I could run the scenario on the captain's call with you is they would have gone the captain's call on the high contact for Tex, and the AFL says that was correctly paid as not a free kick.
Yep.
So about 60 seconds earlier, they would have already burnt their captain's call and they wouldn't have had it left on the side.
Oh, Shane Watson style.
I reckon that's what would have happened.
Done the review.
Because Tex was certain that he'd got high contact, but the AFL saying that was a correct call. That's not high contact.
Not a high tackle, correct play on call.
So I reckon they would have already used their captain's call. We'll come to Essendon in a moment. Just before we do, so Josh Rochelli's had two moments in the last quarter, which are going to be a lot to deal with. One where he flinches in as obvious a manner and how that fits into the modern construct. But then Mark Bickley was watching him over the ensuing minutes, and he said in our commentary before the second one happened that it was totally in his head. He'd had teammates coming to him, but he couldn't get out of it. And then he has an uncontested mark in the forward pocket for the go-ahead goal, which he drops. So it impacted him severely in the moment, and it becomes a really interesting coaching discussion with him. But he's going to have to live with that in the weeks coming. And you guys have been out on the field, but I don't imagine he's a pretty cheeky player. I don't imagine his opponents are going to let him forget that quickly. Hodgie?
Yeah, I tried to give him an out on that first one. I thought his response afterwards, so I thought the lights got into his eyes because 2 seconds later after he sort of flinched, he went back with the flight of the ball and tried to take a chest mark, a very courageous act. But then the same thing happened a couple minutes later. So looking back on it, it did look like that he hesitated. But everyone's done that. And are players going to remind him of that? Yes, they are, because that's just what you do. If you can get into your opponent's head, they will remember it. They will say it. They'll try and get you to second-guess yourself. But I've played a lot of footy. I've done that a lot of times. Everyone has done that. Everyone has second-guessed themselves when they're sitting under a ball and the ball's sitting up. You don't know who's coming. You've got someone, blokes come behind you with a knee. And with all this talk about concussion, all this talk about people finishing their careers, there's no doubt that's going through someone's head. So anyone who's sitting back there saying he's taken a short step, he may have flinched a little bit, but everyone who's played football has done that in their career.
Yeah, we have. We've all done it. And it's a hard one to get over in the moment. It does sit with you for the rest of that game.
It might be
5 minutes into the game, might be 5 minutes to go. It doesn't matter. Once it's in your head, the others really don't need to remind you about it. You know you've done it. And you know it looks poor. and you're thinking the Monday review is going to be a slaughterhouse.
Is it though? What's the coaching in this thing, King Inoji, in your
it's changed.
Yeah. So how would someone like, you know, Matty Nix and his coaching staff address this with Rochelle? You don't want to kill the kid completely, do you?
Well, they know. I mean, the player knows. And I think the line coach now does all that coaching now anyway. So he'll sit down with the line coach, say, what do you think about this? Talk their way through it. And then if this happens again, we need to make a statement that, you know, this is not you. You're going to get through this. And look for outcomes, not punishments. But in the old days, they'd put it on the screen and they would replay it. No one would say anything. They'd just play it three or four times.
What they would do is they would show both of those incidents, but then what they would do is they would say, hey, this happened in the game, everyone's done it, but the follow-up, they would show the positive one where he ran back 30 seconds or 10 seconds after he made that initial mistake. He went back with the flight of the ball and they'll say, see, this is what you can do, this is what you're capable of, and this is what we expect everyone else to do. So they'll show it just to let everyone else know that, look, we don't stand for that, we need to put our body in on the line. But then they'll follow up with a positive just so he's walking away going, well, I can do it, and just show that everyone can do it.
So like a silent movie, like the old days.
Oh, yeah, they're the worst ones. When you're sitting in a group of 40 players
and no one talks,
and all the coaches, and no one says anything, and they just play the vision and then rewind, play the vision, rewind. You feel very small.
Oh.
You feel very small.
Until someone finally speaks.
And then the coach says, never want to see this again. And then just plays the next bit of vision.
Right.
And you know you never want to be in that position again.
Oh, lordy.
So that's an intimidating moment. That's a hard one to get through, Hodgie.
You can't sink any lower into your seat when that happens. But it'll be next week when they play North Melbourne. If he chirps at anyone, you know there's going to be a handful of North Melbourne blokes reacting to what he did. Because people watch it. People don't want to be in that position. But North are definitely going to bring it up.
He's going to have to curb the other side of it for a while. I mean, the shushing of the crowd last week against Carlton and the carry on. And you can't be both. If you're going to give it, you've got to wear the odd blow. Yep. On the back with the flight. You can't jump out of the boat and then be firing some sledges out.
I actually don't think young kids are like that anymore. Back in the day, if you did something like that, you'd be quiet for the next 10 weeks. Yep. Kids water off a duck's back, I reckon. They have that much lip about them these days. I'll be watching intently in their next game to sort of see if someone has a go, what's his reaction? If he kicks a nice goal, is he going to go and give it to someone?
He is the Adelaide Crows at the moment. He had a very good game. He did some really classy things and played pretty well, and he had a hand in a lot of their scoring. And then he lets himself down a couple of times. He's exactly what the Crows are at the moment. There's a few things they're doing quite well, but there's parts that are just crawling their whole game.
At 1-5, they've been given the primetime fixture too, Sam. Yeah. So this has ramifications not just for the Crows, but for the overall fixture and for primetime.
But I was entertained. I don't know about you guys. They were poor. Of course they were. But I was entertained. So did it tick the box from an entertainment?
Last night's fine. But if they're 1-5 and they're 2-6, that's hard to carry prime time.
And they're on the clock at the moment as well in regards to the fixture from round 16 onwards, which is going to be confirmed in the next couple of weeks. So that's another factor because everyone was being assessed in real time. So they got North Melbourne next. They've got a showdown coming up after that on Thursday night. Finally, a standalone showdown, which is what they've wanted forever, against Port Adelaide.
All right, we'll come back to Essendon and run the analysis over the Bombers' 4-2 start for the season. We've solved a few things already with Sam Edmund. You're listening to Crunch Time for Azito. Do it yourself. Do it with Azito. Do you. And Freeway Motor Group, Cranbourne, Frankston, Mornington and Lilydale. There are going to be words ringing in my ears for the rest of the day.
Absolutely, the Crows were robbed. Right in front of me. Right in front of me.